Terry Lee and the Mount Calvary Singers and one soprano performing for you this morning. Amen.
Thank you.
Oh, weren't those guys good? I'll tell you one thing. The last couple weeks here at Mount Calvary, it has been so moving to have the events that God has allowed to happen.
Really?
And to see the turnout, I know it brought a smile to everybody's heart when you see Robin walk in this morning, and she was here at the concert on Friday night, and she was all happy because she has there was a little fella was there with her. And toward the, we just kind of stole him, brought him on into the front pew, set him down here, and she's like, take him. Tomorrow I am taking him to his permanent residence. It was just good to see the smiles upon the faces. For those who were here on Friday night, you know that one of our singers, Bill, from over at Calvary Road, and little girl that the family's been helping to take care of, celebrated her birthday here on Friday. And after we went over to eat over at IHOP, they had ice cream cake. We ate a meal the way that a church group should eat a meal. We sat down to ice cream cake first. Before you sit down, before you had your menu, you had the ice cream cake to start. Man, I got to rethink this. And I walk in this morning, I'm looking at prayer request time, I'm getting all serious. I look over here and I see Cadbury, Dairy Milk, milk chocolate, velvety smooth. I was over here looking at the bottom part where it says, velvety smooth.
I imagine this is yours.
I know. I'm surprised it's still unwrapped here before we got... You know, and the things that God has allowed to happen through the outpouring of His love. To have those gentlemen come in on Friday, and last year they came up a day early. This time they got in here about 4 o'clock or so on Friday afternoon. As soon as they got here, as soon as the doors opened, we were just greeted with hugs and just smiles and warmth. And He says... They said to us, we have missed you. That's what they said to us. Not us to them. That's what they said. We have missed you. Walked in and just started filling in the blanks. What's been going on? What's been doing? How do, you know, and just, it almost like we picked up in mid-sentence where we left off. And you have friends like that. Come on, you know, people that are just so excited when they see you and it just makes you feel so good inside. We had a marvelous concert on Friday night. So we got here today. We all were kind of like, the things that God has done through His Holy Spirit in the last few weeks here at Mount Calvary, friends, they are special. I've been here for a lot of years now. I don't know if this will be my 10th year. This is my 10th year as pastor of Mount Calvary Mini Church. Brother Ed buried him in 2002, I believe, or early 2003. He fell in 2002. And I've been here, I came to this church in 1981. And I've been here and seen a lot of Easter services. I've never seen an Easter service that warmed my heart like it did last Sunday. And the special part of that service for me, to see so many children standing in the front, swinging, and they had the hands in the pockets, and they were moving like this, and they were doing, and they were getting into it. Wow, does that just bless your heart and bless your soul when you see the innocence of children standing in front of you singing praises to the Master, the Lord Jesus Christ. Friends, it's all good. The things that God has for us, they are all good. It's the things of this life that we have to deal with. God has nothing but good things for us. Who among us would give their only son? No, only God would do that. So in your bulletin, you'll see a nice little scripture, and it'll be a wonderful sermon someday. But we're going to turn in our Bibles here to the book of Luke. And I kept reading this over and over again, and you know, the bulletins make a bold, and Cantor call, and you got, all right, Monday, bulletin time, songs, some you open up, and you know. And then during the week, and things happen, and you just see the way that God is moving within His people, within His folks. And here in the 9th verse, 18. Can't read my mind, eh, Miss Giesler? Boy, I'm glad I have one thing private. Luke, the 18th chapter, beginning in the 9th verse. Also he spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Wow. This is one of those verses when you read in the Bible, it's like, wow. And he spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Pretty little poignant picture that the Lord was portraying here when he spoke. In the 10th verse, two men went up to the temple to pray. One a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. And that part where it says tax collector, you can put any job you want to put in there. Could have been a homemaker. Could have been a simple construction worker. Could have been somebody at your office that simply brings around the mail. Could have been any job. This job was even more important because it was probably one of the, if not the most hated job of the time. A tax collector, why? They came around, collected those taxes, and had the ability under law to charge any amount that they saw fit. That's pretty tough. How do you feel when you go to the gas station these days? Come on, get that picture in your mind. When you sit there and you take that nozzle, you put it in the vehicle, you go inside your car, turn the music up real, real loud and try to get in a far-off place. You'll be there for a while before you get back out. And you take it out and you put it back in if you paid with a credit card. And if you do like now, you just kind of don't even look. Just put it in there, take the little lever up. Just, I don't even want to look. Get back in the vehicle. Tax collector. Think about that. Tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the tax collector, standing far off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Jesus said, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Heavenly Father, add a special blessing under the reading of your word today. We ask this in Jesus' precious name, and all God's people said, amen, amen, amen. This is one of those stories when you read in the Bible, it has to get to you. There's certain things that they get to you. There's certain things when they're said, and there's certain songs when you hear them, they just get to you. I know on Friday night the guys were singing. We asked Brother Scott over here to sing a little as much. He started singing, and boy, when he starts singing that song, it just got to you. I know those guys, and trust me, friend, there are better singers out there than the Proclaimers Quartet. I will tell you. I know them. If they're standing right here, I'd tell you the same thing. You know, and they'll say, well, good. Give us a big offer and we'll practice more. They'll tell you anything you want to. You know, well, I'll tell you, there are better singers out there than the Proclaimers Quartet. We've had them here at Mount Calvary. We've had the top gospel quartets in the nation, glory be to God, sing for us right here in this small little chapel. And I'll tell you one thing, there are not men that have bigger hearts for God than those gentlemen. And it shows in the way that they treat others and how they think of themselves. That old piano player that was sitting up top over here, and he's letting his hair grow a little different and all like that. And he tells me, and he sat in my office before the service there, and he was telling me about his job. He says, you know, I was retired for a whole month. A whole month. He says, to keep my sanity, to save my marriage, to make things just go, that lasted a whole month, and I went back to work. And he says, my job, he says, these guys always make fun of me because I'm the one that goes to bed earliest. He says, because I'm up every morning at 4 a.m. He says, and I go out and I have a little small truck over there that the county supplies me. I fill it with water. And I go around and I water all the plants for the county parks areas where he lives at. And he says, after I have watered those, after I have taken care of them, he says, I have such a feeling of fulfillment in what I am doing, watering those plants. Amen? Amen. I said, brother, that's the way my heart is. I love it. I like to get on a tractor and I like to cut grass. You like to water flowers? I like to cut grass. It is amazing when you are allowed to do a simple task for the glory of God. You might not think that your job is so much for the glory of God. And some of us may be dealing in a job situation where, we're definitely getting closer to God. Let's put it that way. And you might have one of those kind of jobs. You're in the middle of it and you just don't quite understand and you scratch your head and you say, why God, why God, why God? In reading and having God, I fully believe, lay this portion of Scripture upon our hearts this morning. And having such a busy last couple of weeks and so many wonderful things that God has allowed us to do and be a part of, and so many people have been blessed. And you know, here at the concert, when that concert is over and people going out, my goodness, what wonderful comments, what uplifting. Earlier in the week, I heard a story on the radio, and as soon as I did, it just touched me, and I had to go in and turn the computer on. I had to look it up, and just I heard the story about the police sheriff up in New Jersey, I believe it was, 8 days before his retirement, to go in what they thought was a simple domestic dispute. And his life was ended right there. Life taken in the line of duty 8 days before his retirement. He'd been on the workforce there for 26 years. And when people talked about him, and as soon as it is amazing anymore how, with through technology and information, how much information that you can get in such just a short period of time. And I know, and I heard this, and I went and I started reading, and later in the day they were talking about interviews, and they had pictures up, and I just, wow. And they said, you know, this was the kind of guy who was in on hands. You know, he was a part of it. He never asked his men to do something that he was not willing to do himself. If it was a raid that was going to take place, he was there in the midst of it. Because he felt that was his job. Not to think of himself higher than what he could have. And I know, and you know, at certain times you've been in a job for a long time, you get to the point where you have other folks and work for you, and you can kind of task folks, this gentleman taking part. He didn't know that day that was going to be his last day. Family didn't know, those fellows, but nobody knew. And I read this story, and I looked at it, and it so touched me about how, and I don't know why, I simply don't know why. Miss Geisla, before even most of you got here today, she was so concerned about those out in the Midwest with the storms. And the lies that have been lost already. And she asked me, she says, I simply don't know what God is trying to tell us. I don't know either. I don't. But I do know, and I do believe, and I fully, standing here in front of you, can stand upon the promise of God that He is in control of it all. There's nothing happens to a child of God that my Heavenly Father, He doesn't know. He doesn't know because He knows me. I thank God that I am not like other men. Churches are finally starting to wise up, but that is not the prayer that we pray. The prayer that we pray is we are simply sinners saved by grace. From the pastor to the musicians to the deacons to the trustees to each and every member and friend of Mount Calvary, we are simply sinners saved by grace. Humbled in His presence. Humbled in the simple fact that He actually allows us to get together, to minister, to serve Him. Wednesday night, we're starting a great little study. Charles Stanley, we just had the introduction, the first couple pages, talking about our hearts as a servant unto God. We had 32 people here on Wednesday night, probably as many as we got this morning. People who simply want to get into God's Word and better understand, how can I serve Him better? You serve Him from your knees. That's where it begins. You serve Him with a humble heart, fully realizing only through God's grace do we have anything, even the breath that we breathe. Fellas sang. We went and had our ice cream before our meal. So everybody was in a great mood. And we had so many people, we were getting things done, and they were kind of leaving, and I was kind of backing away, and there's one of the fellows that I didn't get to say goodbye to. So I said, well, he ain't getting away that easily. No, sir. So I left, I went out of the restaurant. I looked in the parking lot and then realized I had not brought a vehicle. I go, I rode in the bus. These guys are ready to leave. I don't got a vehicle. I marched on, opened the door of that bus, stepped up on there. Went down to the middle part of that bus. I said, brother, I said, you're not getting away without giving me a hug. And he stood up. Already, he was at his computer writing about what a wonderful time and how he had been blessed to be here with us. He said, brother, I was just sharing. Stood up and gave me a big old hug. I said, brother, enjoy watering them plants Monday morning when you get back home. He said, I will. Because that man prays for us. And we pray for them. And God hears it all. Amen. Amen. Heavenly Father, we have come into Your house. We have sung praises unto Your name. We have opened Your Word. And God, You have touched our hearts. Because God, we never want to feel like we are anything any better than anyone else. We are simply sinners saved by grace. And God, and You in Your wisdom, You in Your warmth, You in Your kindness, You in Your love, saw fit to allow Your Holy Spirit to call unto our hearts. We heard the gospel news. We accepted the promise that You give. And God, we thank You for that. For we know that we can do no serving, We cannot do anything for the kingdom of God unless we know you. So God, thank you for knowing us. Thank you for loving us enough to allow us to serve you. Now, Heavenly Father, you've heard each prayer request today and how it's moved our hearts. You know that within this congregation, those special prayer requests, those things that are just so close to our hearts that we want to mention them, God, but you hear each and every one. God, you send the answer forth. God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for allowing us to be here in this place. We thank you for our guest today, and we ask now that you'll give us safe traveling mercies as we leave this place. Let us know that we have been in the house of the Lord. We have met with brothers and sisters. Your Spirit has been here in the midst of us. It has led us. It has guided us. And God, let us have a burden to simply serve you in any way that we can. We ask this in Jesus' precious name, and all God's people said, Amen.